being around them and with them for much, much longer. And so it's so nice to see our kids to grow up and to excel and to thrive and to be healthy. And we are looking forward to that future story for them. And as John mentioned earlier, kudos to the kids, but also kudos to those that have taken care of these guys for 18 years. It is a ton of work. And I wish I could tell you were done, but I think at the rate we're going, you're not done yet. You have a few more years of parenting, and we begin cutting some threads as we launch our kids off into adulthood. And so for all the things that take place today, I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate those of you who plan on staying today to maybe meet for the very first time some of our graduates. And so I talked to them this morning in class just to let them know that even if you're awkward, it's okay. But they've committed an hour to come and to get to know you, to ask questions about your future. And so my prayer today is that our seniors know that they are deeply loved, that they are cared for, that there is a special future in advance for them. And as a church, we want this to be a place that they can call home. And so for most of our graduates, 17, 18 years old, and so as usual, I'd like to start off just to remind us of how old we are getting. Most of these students were born close to 2001. And so 2001 was a big year. That was a year that Lord of the Rings, that our world was introduced to Lord of the Rings. It was also the year that Dale Earnhardt died in that last final turn at the Daytona 500. 2001 was the year that the Human Genome Project was introduced, that they had finished the task of mapping all of our DNA, and that was introduced to the world. On the tech side, we were introduced to the very first generation of the iPod. Yeah, we've advanced some over the past few years, but this was a game changer on the year that these guys were born, and so we didn't have anywhere to get music for these things. So also in 2001, we were introduced to iTunes, that there was a world before iTunes. Many of us remember the dreadful September 11th of 2001, a day of that these students were born, that for most of us is a day that we will always remember. 2001 was the year we got introduced to Shrek for the very first time. And my favorite was Windows XP. So my question is, who here today is still using Windows XP on their computer? One, stick with it, Paul. It's the best operating system ever. So there are a few. Oh, we got one back here. We have a few dinosaurs out there that are still living. Yeah. Awesome operating system, and then they wanted us to change to Vista or some bad trade-off. So, 2001 was a great, great year. And so today we gather for just a few minutes, mainly to speak an encouragement and a blessing over you guys. So this morning I came in early and I was doing some math. And for a lot of you guys, you have had the privilege of being raised in a church context. And even if you weren't here every Sunday, most of you guys have listened to over 850 sermons. If you were here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, that is over 1,500 Bible classes that you guys have had the privilege of sitting in on. And so I'm not going to say anything this morning that is going to rock your socks, but I am going to speak truth to you. And so this morning, there's a bit of a challenge as a communicator, because today we celebrate 10 graduates, but you did not just come here to celebrate them. You came here to be challenged, hopefully, in your faith yourself. And so I've worked hard this morning to say things that are very relevant to our high school kids, but I think are also relevant to us, because here's why. I believe since the beginning of God that God has always created his people to be on the move, that God has never would never created us to get to a place and to stop and to say, I'm satisfied. And so from the very beginning of Scripture, we see that in this big epic movement of God, that he finds his people in slavery and that he delivers them and says, this is not where I wanted you to live. I want you to move. And they move to the wilderness, and then we move into Jordan. And there was this place of development and growth and conquering in the story of Jesus. is that we come to Christ and we're not satisfied just with the forgiveness, but there's this transformative power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us that says, now grow, now be transformed, now continue to move forward in your faith and to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So this morning, all of us come here as people on the move. Maybe you haven't moved in a while, but you were made for movement. Maybe it's been a season that you've been stagnant in your faith, in your development, and in your growth. But for these students today, there's a big moment at 18 or 19 or 17 that they graduate, and then we launch them. It's this big moment of this big catalyst of forward movement. But if you find yourself here today at 35 or 57 or 62, there's not a big moment that you're going to get to live into. But the expectation for these students is the same for us, is that we're still on the move, that we're still moving towards something better, deeper, richer, and that we're not simply sitting still. So if you're not 18 graduate, you're 18-year-old graduate today, would love to speak to you also. The first thing that I want to share this morning as we look at the story of Joshua and the movement of God, I would love to have been there. Of all the scenes that I could have captured to be a firsthand visitor at, it would have been at the end of Deuteronomy, where as the people are coming out of the wilderness experience for the past 40 years, and this incredible leadership that Moses had provided for the people and in the rebellion, and in their laziness, and in their questioning, and in their desire to even go back to Egypt and to be slaves. And so Moses here rereads the law in the book of Deuteronomy, and then he passes away, and the torch is passed to Joshua. It says, all right, Joshua, it's your time. It's your time to take the people in the direction that I've always wanted them to go. And you would think that this trip would be easier to lead from slavery into freedom. But much like us, slavery becomes a norm and movement becomes difficult, and we never really realize the potential that God has for us. And so the first bottom line that I want to share this morning with all of us is this. Number one, to saddle up. When I was in college, we went to Chickasaw State Park. That was the name of it. Down south of Jackson, Tennessee. I was leading a campus ministry, and we took our college students there on a retreat. And so as usual on a retreat, on Saturday, we had a little bit of free time. And so they had a horse riding stable there. I hate horses. They are stubborn. They are stronger than me. They do not have a throttle or a brake. They have their own mind. And so even for me, hopping on the back of a horse, there's just so many things that could go wrong. But we decide as a group that we're going to go horseback riding, and there's a young man in our group named Andrew West. And Andrew West was terrified of horses. And so we guilted him and shamed him like good Christian college kids would do and say, oh, you're such a weenie, like everybody rides horses. And so he reluctantly mounts up on this old, tired plopper. You know, it's just one of those trail horses. It's not exciting at all. And so we're in the line there, and he rides much like I do. I mean, it's just white knuckled. I mean, we're not even galloping. It is just, and he is just so rigid, and he is holding on for dear life. He's lost his color. And so as we're going down the path, I remember looking at Andrew and his horse from the back, and Andrew was riding a little bit like this right here. And I thought to myself, his saddle is loose. And I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid he would like hyperventilate or just like have a complete panic attack. So being a good Christian kid, I didn't say anything. And as we go down, there's a moment that the saddle turns entirely upside down. And Andrew is now underneath the belly of the horse, feet still in the stirrups, holding on to that horn, trying to stay mounted. And he is absolutely terrified. He was terrified on top of the horse, and now he is balled up underneath the horse between the legs, and the horse, like, I wish there had been a thought bubble that I could have heard the horse, but the horse is like, what are you doing? Like, on the back. Now, here's the thing. He was terrified, but I promise you this. It's still a story he tells today. So I'm looking back probably 20 plus years, and that story is just as fresh. And so when I talk about Saddle Up, I talk about this. Is that graduates, for you, I asked you this morning in class, and every one of you raised your hand and you said, yeah, I'm a little scared. I'm a little bit anxious, right? For us, let's be honest, we're all a little bit scared to move forward. We're a little bit fearful to move forward. And so in this Joshua story, as Joshua gathers the Israelites there on what would be the east bank of the Jordan, and they've got to cross into the promised land, that this Jordan River seemed like an impossible barrier. Because now we have bathymetric maps and deep sea submersibles, and we understand a college, we understand all this stuff, and realizing that a river is not a dangerous place. But if we could go back a couple thousand years, rivers were incredibly dangerous places because they were unknown. So when we go back to the book of Job and we read about this Leviathan, this mythical creature, this dark water represented a place of uncertainty. And so for 40 years, they moved to get there, and then they get there and they set up camp because there's something that they can't cross. And so in the very beginning, God tells Joshua, he says, young man, I need you to be strong. Strength, courage, don't be timid, don't be discouraged. And so in all of our life, for you guys right now today, I know that this Jordan River, that this launching from adolescence into adulthood is full of uncertainty. Like, what do all these knobs on the washing machine do, right? Is this a normal wash, a power wash? You guys have no idea. You've never washed clothes. How do I fill my car up with gas? How do I change a flat tire? How do I find the admissions office? What if I don't like my roommate? What if I'm lonely? What if I miss home? What if I run out of money on my Flex account and I can't eat? What if I don't like school? What if I don't like my job? What if I don't like the military? And you're stepping off into a place of uncertainty, but I think for all of us, anytime we move forward, the reason we don't move forward is because we're uncertain of what the future might look like, so we stay exactly where we're at. And so this morning, I encourage all of us to saddle up. The great theologian John Wayne said this, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. I just wonder in our life how many great stories we've missed out on because we were afraid. We're afraid to take a chance. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of how it might turn out. We're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of being lonely. We're afraid we didn't have all the answers. We're afraid it might be tough. We're afraid it might cost us something, because I really believe that all of us could have better stories to tell. Life-giving stories that change our space. If we could just get past the fear of making a move. The second point I want to make this morning is this. I need you to follow the right people. I don't know, for the past 4 years, you guys are probably tired of me saying this, but I'm not going to stop for you guys that are seventh graders. I'm just going to tell you over and over and over again, is that you've got to follow the right people to do well. And so I remember when I was in school, when I went to college, I lived in the town that my college I went to was in. And so I was able to take some of my friends with me, but I watched some other people, for the fear of being lonely, just chose anybody to follow, and it cost them greatly. And so, as I've told you in class before, that I'll tell you who you're going to be if you'll tell me the five people that you choose to spend time with, and you'll become the average of all of them. So if you want to be faithful, find some faithful friends. If you want to find some kids who believe in honor, find some honorable friends. If you want a healthy relationship, find a good girl, find a good guy. Who you hang around with will make all the difference in the trajectory of where the next 4 years gives you. But I think also for us is that I believe the same wisdom for us is I want us to spend time with people that enrich us, that make us better, that challenge us, that are stronger, that are more faithful, that show us a better way. And so if we're in toxic relationships, cut them loose. If you're in discouraging relationships, find a different way. If you're the strongest in your group in every setting, find some people in your group that make you a little bit nervous. Find somebody that you can follow to grow into. And so Joshua knew that this was important. And so he said this. He said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. So none of you guys know what college is like. I can't tell you. I can't explain it. You've never been this way before. Find some good people to follow. Find some good people to follow. And maybe in our lives, maybe there's a route that we want to go and we've never been that way before. Find some people to surround yourself with that will help make that path easier. And graduates, I will warn you, if you miss this point, it will cost you greatly. As the Proverbs say, walk with the wise and become wise. Keep the company of fools and it will cost you. That's the wisdom of Solomon. Walk with wisdom and you will become wiser. Keep the companion of fools and you will suffer harm. Really simple to understand. Really tough freshman year of college to keep that in mind. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. The next thing is this. Forget your past, but not really. I think that's self-explanatory. We'll move on. I'm just kidding. That is really odd. But I wanted to make it odd so you heard me. So often we remember the wrong things as we move forward. There are some of us in this room this morning that are still living with 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of guilt and shame. Maybe the guilt and shame wasn't your fault, but you still have it. Maybe you're still living in the regrets of the past, the shame, the wishes to do something all over again. And we hang on to those things as a ball and chain as we navigate through life with this guilt and shame. I'm not asking you to remember that. I'm asking you to remember the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness and the richness of God. You see, those are often the very first things that we forget. The good things. But our mind is full of all the things that Jesus died on a cross to free you from, to say, I don't intend for you to live in guilt and shame and regret. And so I'm going to give up my life to break that stronghold. And we say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to keep it with me. And so young people, I know you. Some of you guys have some regrets. You got some shame and you got some things that you said, man, I wish I could go back and rewind and do that over. I'm asking you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, let them go. It is not honorable, it is not holy, it is not righteous, it is not of God to hang on to those, and that's a spiritual battle. As soon as they cross the river, Joshua says, hey, I think this is a moment that we want to remember. So all the priests, I need you to go back into the river and I need you to grab 12 stones. And so here's a picture of one that I believe is across the river over at the Ark. And he says, I want us to build a monument. And so that when our children ask us, what is this all about? That I want you to remember this. I want you to remember my faithfulness in your life. I want you to remember my deliverance, where I brought you from and where I'm taking you to. I want you to remember that. You see, there's no conversation. No conversation for this group of people that says, I want you to remember how big of an idiot you were back in the wilderness. I want you to hang on to those days that you're idolatrous and that you did not trust in God to deliver us and to make. I want you to remember that brain dead idea that you had to go back to slavery. That's not what he wants them to remember, not their weak points, not their humanity, not their frailty, but to remember the power of God in your life. And young people, we could fill up a legal pad of some things that you wish you could do over. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ has set you free from that. Remember the goodness of God. And the last thing I want to share this morning is this, is to know who you are. As we move forward, graduates or adults alike, if we are not sure who we are, the world will be standing in line to tell you exactly who you are. And some of us believe that story more than what God says about us. Some of us believe that we are defined by our success, that we are designed by, that we are defined by our figure or our physique or our college degree or our successes or our academics or our athletic success. Some of the world has said this is who you are, and the truth is it's not. Those are some things about you, but it doesn't define you. And so, grads, I want you to know this, is that you are creating the image of God and that you are deeply loved. And there will be a lot of things that you do in life, but none of those things are who you are. You're a child of God. Joshua thought this was important. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives." If you're in the Old Testament and somebody says, make flint knives, that would be a great time to go hide, because this is not a good day, especially for the young guys. So make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And so for the past 40 years, the generation that had been circumcised had died off in the desert. And there's a whole new group of young men that are entering into the place that God designed for them to be and had not gone through this ritual yet. And what was the ritual about? It was about being identified as a child of God. And God said, before we head to Jericho, before we head to Ai, before we do any business in the land, I need everybody to be really, really certain that you belong to me. And then, and only then, will we be successful. Young people, I want you to know who you are. And I know some days it doesn't feel like it. Some days it doesn't feel good. But there are 1 million labels where you're headed that are so tempting to believe that these are the things that define me. And they don't. And so you've got 3 months to move forward, to be confident in who you are through Christ Jesus, and to step into your new reality fully confident, and to move from there. So this morning, as we wrap up, over the past several years, we have put together a little slideshow, a little reminiscent of our graduates from the earliest ages all the way up to their graduating pictures. And so we'll take a minute, we'll watch this, and then we'll present our graduates with their Bibles.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
king of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good.
And so at the end of a service over the past several weeks, our students' Bibles have been out in the lobby, and many of you appreciate the amount of time that you've taken to have a seat and to write an encouraging word or a blessing in those students' Bible. And our prayer is that you carry those with those, and as you engage the Word of God, is that you remember that you are loved. And so Grady's going to present your Bibles to you this morning. So just as I call your names, I will come up to the front and you guys gather on stage. And once we get everybody done, parents, grandparents, whoever's here, if you want to take a quick photo, I'll get out of the way and you can get a good picture of this good group of kids. First of all, Justin Alcorn from King's High School. Cody Carden, Lakota East. Alex Foz from Madeira. Chris Heidlich, homeschooled. Ian Hunt, Lakota West. Aaron Joyner, Clinton Massey. Pierce Kennemer, Cincinnati Hills Christian. Jackson Leahy, Lakota East. Jordan McDonald, Madeira. And Susanna Spooner, Seven Hills. So I will get, anybody want to take a picture? It's all right. I'll get out of the way. Can't see them all. And so as we end, guys, I want you to know, as you look out and you see these people, some of them may be sort of strangers, some of them may be fairly new faces, but you are loved and you are valued, and we hope that this is a place that you can call home. All right, I just want to pray over you. And so when we dismiss graduates, you are free to head downstairs to the lower lobby. Families, quietly, sort of head out with them. We'll give you a few minutes to use the restroom, get you a snack before the onslaught. So, yeah, when we dismiss here, you guys are dismissed with your families downstairs. Father God, we are thankful for these students that you share with us for a little window of time. We are thankful that we have gotten the privilege of knowing them, of teaching them, of fist bumping them, of affirming them, of giving them hugs, and just knowing that they are seen. Father, we pray that as they launch into a new season of life, whatever that path may be, Father, that they will be reminded that they are deeply loved children of yours, that you will guide their paths, that you will bless them with wise people for them to co-journ with. Father, that their future is bright, that it's honorable, and that it is of you. So today we say thank you. Be with us for the next little bit as we share and as we greet and we speak blessings over these guys. May their hearts be open to hear that and to soak that in to some deep places to help them weather a challenging season that lies ahead. We love you. We do remember you for your faithfulness and your goodness and your kindness, and we're thankful that you are faithful. And we pray this through Christ Jesus. Amen. So you guys can head on down to the lobby. Families, you can join them. Just one little piece that I want to add here, and then Grady's going to take over. Last year, we began something new. There's several pieces to a blessing. Number one is that it's spoken. Number two, there's a physical touch. Number three, there's a special future that you envision for that student. So today, in a few minutes, we have an opportunity to do three of those. The other piece is this, is that there's an involvement in your future. And so today is not a one and done, I bless you and now go, and I stay disconnected. So last year we began something new to continue to bridge these intergenerational relationships between you and our students. And so last year we began something called 100 Days of Blessing. And so what we asked last year was for you as a congregation to commit to spending once a week, once every other week, to stay in touch with our graduates as they weather through the first semester of college, the first season of a new job, just to keep in touch and to help them navigate. So this morning, I want to ask, how many last year graduates do we have in the house? Go ahead and stand up where you're at. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tyler, he's too old. So y'all keep standing. And so last year, I believe 35 of you guys, and I'm so thankful for this, 35 of you said, yes, I will commit to walking with one of these students for the next 100 days. If you participated last year, just stand up where you're at. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I heard stories from you that it was nice to stay in touch with your student. I heard stories from students saying it was so nice to somebody stay in touch with us. So you guys can have a seat. So I want to give you a heads up. We're going to do that again this year, beginning around the 1st of August, as our students figure out where they're going to be living and we have addresses. We will make this known again. We'll make it super easy for you to sign up. This year, we would love to have another 35, 40, 50, 150, whatever that number is. We would love for you to commit one semester to staying in touch with one of these 10 kids up here saying, how's college going? Here's a pack of Oreos. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you and to help them navigate this first season of life. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you will do in August. I think it matters for the spiritual growth and development of our kids.
Thank you, Nick. So, want to talk just a little bit this morning, following up about this whole idea of honor and respect. And I just want to encourage us all right now to say thank you to Nick and Meredith, their family, for the work that they have done in this church, the difference they've made in 4 years. And I think Nick is still back there unless he went out the door. There he is. I want to say thank you to Nick. There is a verse in the book of Thessalonians that says this: therefore, encourage one another and build up each other just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and those who admonish you. So we've been doing a lot of honoring and a lot of respecting the last couple of weeks. We honored mothers last week with Mother's Day. We are honoring and remembering our graduates this week. But this whole idea of honor and respect, it is a way of life. And it's not just about graduates. It's not just about mothers. It's about everybody. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. And so whether sometimes we struggle in ways we express it, it's important that we express it. And so whether we're talking about a leader in the church, whether we're talking about those who work with our young people, whether we're talking about our parents, sometimes maybe it's imperfect, but it means a lot that we do something and say something. And so whether it's thank you, I believe in you, you're doing a good job, whatever it is, I encourage you to do it, even if sometimes you stumble around at it. As Nick mentioned a few minutes ago, several years ago, there was a running back for Southern Cal football team. His name was Sultan McCullough, and he thought he would do something to honor his mother on Mother's Day. So what he decided to do was get a tattoo of her name across his chest. So, you know, some back in the old days, the sailors, others who were in the military, they would get tattoos, and a lot of times there'd be a heart with an arrow, and it said mother. They would get tattoos in honor of their mother. But what he thought he would do is get a tattoo in honor of his mother and put her name across his chest. And that's exactly what he did. Her name was Mabel, and so he had tattooed on his chest, M-A-B-L-E. Of course, it turned out that he spelled her name wrong. Her name was M-A-B-E-L, and so I guess in honor of his mom, he spelled her name wrong across his chest. But the fact is, he chose to honor his mother in the way that he chose. And she said about him later on when she was asked about that, she said, it doesn't matter. He's a sweet boy. I love who he is. And so I'm going to ask you, and just to give folks a little time as we sing a song here in just a minute and close, specifically encourage not only these kids and our kids on a regular basis. Say thank you to those who serve in other ways. Honor those who are leaders among us and make extra efforts. They really appreciate it, and it does make a difference. When we honor others, we're saying, number one, you're important and you're special. And number two, I'm going to show that to you in a concrete way. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on board and encourage you. If you did not participate last year in the opportunity to encourage those who are going off to college, sign up this year if you didn't do it last year. It'll be a great way to encourage them. So as we close this morning, I want to remind you, as I always do, or not as I always do, but a lot of times I do, when we sing this song at the end of the service, our shepherds here at Northeast, one of them will always be in this room right off the front lobby. And that's because they want to be here, not just there, other times to be accessible to this church. So if you're struggling, you're hurting, you just want encouragement in a need that you have, you can always know it's not just an opportunity to be baptized or to come forward or let us know you want place membership, whatever that is. There's someone back here who wants to pray with you and encourage you if you have a need you want to share there. And so don't forget that. We're going to sing this song. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to Jesus for what they've done for us and continue to do for us. So let's sing. Whatever your need is, however you need to respond, let us know.